Good morning, world. Good morning, Wisconsin. It is a new day, and welcome to WFHR's morning show. Seth and James here with you at 8:05 on the clock, and we're joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Looking ahead at the weather, Paul, we got a day or next 48 hours is going to be kind of chilly out there, especially tomorrow, but I'm seeing 30s next week. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, it still looks like we'll get up to around that 30 mark through the weekend, and yeah, next week still more of that with that type of temperature pattern. But yeah, definitely the cold surge coming our way tonight and into Friday, and then that moderating trend after that. And we have that wind chill advisory that's in effect tonight into midday on Friday, with these wind chills around 30 below or colder at times as we get into tonight. Today's temperatures stay pretty steady in the teens for most of the day. May drop off in the single digits later this afternoon as that Arctic air starts to edge in from the northwest. Northwest winds 10 to 25, and seeing some breaks of sun and some clouds over us at times, maybe a few flurries passing through here through midday. Tonight's lows at about the mid-teens below zero. Clear skies, northwest breezes still kicked up early on, and then about 10 to 15 through the night. And after that frigid start to Friday, some sunshine, 6 above. Northwest winds 5 to 10. 1 above Friday night with some clouds, and then sunny break, some clouds Saturday, highs at 29. Mid-20s Saturday night, partial sun, some clouds Sunday, 32. And more mid-upper 30s into early next week. And even some chances for a little mixed precip coming our way into the first half of the week as well. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the updates, Paul. We're looking forward to tomorrow. We'll get people ready for the weekend.
Exactly. Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley. Love talking with him. And speaking of that, happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
I hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for kicking it off with Seth and I. This hour, we'll have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in just a little bit. Looking forward to it. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week. That's usually where we do our entertainment, so we're going to shift that and do that right now.
Okay.
And we're going to get into, in just a moment, we'll get into the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees.
Okay. Oh, that's right. They released those.
But for right now, I have to start off with the gentleman who I've seen live, and the actually, one of the first times I remember this happening. I think the Rolling Stones did it beforehand, but Ozzy Osbourne, when I was young, I had to have been a senior or junior in high school, had the No More Tours tour. It was his newest album at the time was No More Tears or something like that, or that was the hit song he had out.
Yeah, right.
And it was going to be No More Tours, and Ozzy was never going to tour it again. And it made sense because he was an older guy.
Yeah.
Had done quite a bit in his life and everything. Well, flash forward to 2023, and Ozzy Osbourne has just announced the cancellation of his upcoming tours and said his touring career is over because he is not physically capable of it.
Aww.
In a statement released on Wednesday, the 74-year-old said he had a major accident 4 years ago in which he damaged his spine and that he can no longer cope with the travel required for a tour.
Yeah.
Quote, "My one and only purpose during this time has been to get back on stage." No, I do a horrible Ozzy. "My singing voice is fine. However, after 3 operations, stem cell treatments, endless physical therapy, and most recently groundbreaking cybernetics, HAL treatment, my body is still physically weak." During his career, which began as a member of the groundbreaking heavy metal band Black Sabbath, Osbourne won Grammy Awards for both his solo work and as part of the band, which he left in 78. No. CNN, no. I'm sorry, CNN Entertainment, where I'm getting this article from.
Okay.
That's incorrect. He was kicked out of Black Sabbath for doing too many drugs. Think about that for a second,
everybody.
Think
about that statement, yes.
How much drugs are you doing to be kicked out of Black Sabbath? Like, that doesn't make any darn sense. That's one of the most insane things I've ever heard in my life.
I've always enjoyed the story of we kicked this guy out because he was doing too many drugs.
You're doing too much, Ozzy. Pass me that. Too much, Ozzy. Ozzy said his team is currently coming up with ideas of how he can perform without having to travel. And I wish him well with this, because when I did see him during the first, I went to the first like four Ozfests, and as the wrap up of that on the main stage, it would be Ozzy, and then the first couple, it was a couple members of Black Sabbath. By the second or third one, it was all the living remaining members of Black Sabbath. So you got a while of Ozzy, and this is along with 20 other bands throughout the whole day.
Yeah, right.
It's just such an amazing show. It was a lot of fun. Ozzy Osbourne blew me away. Like, I am very, you know, harsh when it comes to the lead singer, when it comes to being an MC. You know, seeing a man in his 70s, 60s, late 60s or whatever, I didn't expect too much. He was one of the most ambitious and interesting acts I've ever seen. A really impressive guy.
Dynamic.
Also, king of heavy metal. Easily. There's nobody who even comes second to this. You can go ahead and shout out all the names you want at your radio right now. Nobody has done to heavy rock what Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath did.
Yeah.
They are the Beatles of heavy metal.
They basically invented it. I mean, of that kind of that heavy, sludgy, I would call it, kind of heavy metal. Yeah.
Right now, if I want to come out with the heaviest heavy metal band of all time, it's not going to turn a whole lot of heads. No. It's not that big of a deal. You've got a band like Rammstein that sets things on fire for 20 some years. They've been doing this and everything.
Yeah.
Like, top that while you're at it, you know? But they did this in the heart of the hippie movement, at the heart of sunshine and rainbows and flowers and everything's going to be all right and peaceful and let's hold hands and kumbaya. And they're sitting there in the drucks of London in these horrible cities and saying, it ain't like that here. Like, it isn't like that here. Mm-hmm. We got to represent us. We have to represent the other side of the coin. What does that remind anybody of? Country music and hip hop.
And the blues.
And the blues. All these things are connected.
Yep.
They're all alike in one way or another. You may not be a fan of them, and that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But don't miss the connection. Don't miss it. All of these different fringe genres of music all stem from heartache and hardship and those things.
Trying to deal with your situation, right.
It's the essence of music.
Yeah.
It really is. Telling the human experience.
Right.
Whether it's through instrumental and a guitar riff or a violin or something or lyrics.
Well, and I think about a quote from Eric Clapton, of all people. The thing that he always said drew him to the blues was, it's one guy, one guitar, who's singing not because he wants to. He's singing because he has to, because it eases his pain.
Mm.
That's what the blues, to him, is all about. And I think that's a great description.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Actually, that is really good. That's probably the best thing I've ever heard Eric Clapton,
say. Yeah.
Including his songs. It's wonderful tonight. It's a nice song. Actually, White Room is a good. It's a good.
Yeah, there you go.
I heard that the other day. It was on the radio, and I left it on. And like, I forgot how good this song
is.
That is a really good song. How many Matlock fans we got out there?
Oh, hey.
I know it's a bit of an older show, but I know we have. I actually had a guest ask me the other day what our age range is. And I'm like, well, I just heard I had like the past year, I've had this group of like 18, 19-year-olds like messaging us and making fun of my references and stuff like that. At the same time, we know very well
we've got
plenty way above that.
Yes,
so our age range is all over the map.
Yeah.
But I do know that there are, whatever your age is, plenty of Matlock fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you feel about this? CBS is rebooting Matlock, but with an interesting switch.
Okay.
Kathy Bates is going to be the new Matlock.
Wow.
Got you a little more interested now.
For me, it is, for sure.
Same here, because when I saw the headline, they're going to revamp Matlock, I'm like, but then I saw Kathy Bates.
Ooh,
wait a minute, Kathy Bates. One of the greater actors I've ever seen.
She's very good.
One of the bravest actors I've ever seen, too. She's replacing Andy Griffith. Who starred in the original, of course, from 1986 to 1995. Unfortunately, we lost Mr. Griffith back in 2012. Here's the official synopsis. After achieving success in her younger years, the brilliant Madeline Matlock rejoins the workforce at a prestigious law firm, where she uses her unassuming demeanor and willy tactics to win cases and expose corruption from within.
Ooh.
Interestingly, the original Matlock never even ran on CBS. It aired on NBC from 86 to 92, then finished its run on ABC.
Oh, I didn't even know that. But now CBS is doing the reboot. Yeah. Fascinating.
And CBS is the station with NCIS and all those, right?
They're the big dogs when it comes to that kind of stuff.
This is a perfect fit.
Yeah. Seems
now,
to work.
Not at all. I don't want this to sound bad, but I mean, this is just what the rating systems and what advertisers tell us.
Yeah.
Their CBS's average age range tends to skew much older. So this makes sense for
that. It totally makes sense. I just got a really quick anecdote. So we're watching one of the playoff games recently, and we're flipping. You know, I'm trying to find it, and I click it on to the NBC that's playing this game. My oldest, 11 years old, he's going to be 12 in a couple of weeks. Dad, what's NBC?
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, no.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. That is rough. There's an NBC executive out there listening, like, jeez. You think that's bad. They have their Peacock streaming service.
Right.
And they're so excited because they launched this thing like a year ago during the heart of streaming wars that are going on.
Right, right.
And everybody's got one, you know, and all this. And because of the World Cup, they had a big influx of new people subscribing and viewers. They've got 1%. Like their viewership went up, or their subscribership went up 1% after all of that. They paid what they did for the World Cup and all these things, and they're happy with that. They're like, hey, that's great. Thank you. Please. Like, it's rough at NBC right now.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
It's to the point now where This Is Us is not going to save you. We've seen that.
No.
They have had a couple of hits
since the
must-see TV era of like Thursday TV and Friends and all that stuff and everything. Like, it's rough.
Well, and this is bringing this show back is indicative of where the problem we're at right now. And I don't think it's so much nostalgia plays a part into it. Yes, I agree. But I think it's more they just need content. They need it, and they got to get it from anywhere that they can.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we've got ideas that worked in the past. Let's go with that. Because at least we have, you know, like we got a set thing here. We got characters that people know. We don't have to worry about explaining.
Let's bring back Quantum Leap. Yeah. Let's bring back Monty Night Court.
Exactly. It's got to be just because we need to fill the time. Basically, they're trying to fill time.
I thought of something the other day, and I'm afraid to say it out loud again because I'm afraid somebody is like going to hear it and take the ball and run with it.
Oh, well.
You know how we're tired of, but Hollywood isn't, of revamps and remaking movies and all that stuff, and everybody's tired of it. You know, when's the last time you heard somebody say, I really wish they would remake this or whatever? Well, what if they get the idea, hey, why don't we remake movies with canceled people in them?
Oh, dear.
I wanted to watch the movie Baby Driver the other day. In part because of the sound editing in it. The lead character in it has a hearing impairment.
Yeah.
So many times in the movie, you'll be hearing the sound the way he would.
Yeah.
Where it's only in one ear or it goes from one ear to the other or something like that. I thought it was incredibly
great sound design, yeah.
And I love tearing movies like that apart and like dissecting them and everything. And I really haven't gotten the chance to do that with that movie. It's a newer movie. I start the movie. I'm 5 minutes in. Kevin Spacey doesn't show up for a while. I've seen this movie already, so I know he doesn't show up for a while. But even though I know he's coming up, I can't do it. Ugh, I turned it off. I couldn't do it. What if they get the idea of, what if we just recast the Kevin Spacey role? We could remake the movie completely, do it all the exact same way, just a different Kevin. You know, we'll have Paul Rudd instead of Kevin Spacey in there or something like that.
Like, well, wow.
What a lazy idea, but tell me you couldn't see them doing that.
Oh, I could totally, because you've got everything set already. You've got the script. You've got everything you need except for that one actor. And I put nothing past Hollywood.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That scares me.
If they think it's going to earn them a buck, they're going to do it.
That's a rough one. that I don't think that ends well for them.
No, I don't think so either.
Let's take a look at the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall nominees.
Rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
Hello, Cleveland!
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their nominees yesterday for the 2023 class. Here are 14. There are 14.
Okay.
8 of them are first-time nominees. They include Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Joy Division / New Order. That's interesting.
Ooh, okay.
Cyndi Lauper, George Michael, The White Stripes, Warren Zevon, and Willie Nelson. The other six are Kate Bush, Iron Maiden, Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden, The Spinners, and A Tribe Called Quest.
Wow.
It's also the first year of eligibility for Missy and the White Stripes. To be eligible for the ballot, each nominee's first single or album had to have been released at least 25 years prior to the introduction year.
Oh, boy.
So in this case, 1998 or earlier. How many of us feel old?
Oh, I was going to say, when you started mentioning some of those groups, I'm like, oh, no, we've gotten to that point now. Oh. Yep.
First-year eligible acts that didn't make the cut include Coldplay, Britney Spears, Muse, System of a Down, and Lauryn Hill.
Hmm.
Voting for the fan vote is currently open until April 28th on the Rock Hall's website.
I think I might have to go vote.
The official class of 2023 will be announced in May with an introduction ceremony sometime in the fall. Usually they record it, it ends up on HBO or something like that.
Yeah, right, right. Question.
Yeah.
How are the Spinners not in the Hall of Fame already?
That
boggles my mind.
If you're going to put any R&B band in,
oh my gosh,
and not the Spinners, then I'm not even sure what you're doing. I'm not sure.
I mean, they owned the 70s. They owned the 70s in terms of R&B, man. Oh.
How is it the first time that Warren Zevon is nominated?
That seems odd.
I kind of get Willie Nelson a little bit because, you know, he focuses mostly in country, folk, you know, bluegrass.
But he crossed over a lot. He sure did.
I mean, I can make the argument that he should have been in a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any debate that Warren Zevon belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, that's not only his niche, that's only his genre, but he's one of the more, even if you don't know who Warren Zevon is, you know Werewolves of London.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know Werewolves of London, you're the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know? I mean,
Well, he was one of the most creative rock and rollers out there, and I want him in there just because it gives he was kind of an he walked to the beat of a different drummer for sure. He was his own guy, and I like the idea of putting guys like that or people like that in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not just the big acts. You know, let's get some quirky people in there too.
Oh yeah,
and I'm not saying that just because I want They Might Be Giants to get in there at some point. saying that at all.
Right on, brother. Right on. I think the Joy Division New Order thing is very interesting.
Yes.
I guess I shouldn't expect everybody in the world out there to know why that's interesting, though.
Probably not. I mean, there have been movies, you know, in the recent past about Ian Curtis and his life. You know, there were actually two movies, which is surprising that there were two movies that came up about him specifically. But what happened after his suicide and what New Order became, that story's pretty remarkable, and they created some great music.
Quick synopsis, picking off of what Seth just said, lead singer from Joy Division dies from suicide. That usually ends a band.
Usually.
But New Order folds from that and actually becomes even more of a success as far as pop-wise and everything. Certainly one of my favorite bands of the 80s was New Order.
Very different sound from Joy Division, too,
which is interesting. Very different direction, different sound. It's kind of like the equivalent of Roseanne. They get rid of Roseanne and the Connors, and the Connors is a success. And by rating standards, in some ways, even more successful.
Interesting.
So that is, you don't see that happen very often.
No.
Willie Nelson, now. We got to talk about Willie.
Because
I could easily talk the next hour about A Tribe Called Quest. I do think Cyndi Lauper belongs in. I don't have any problem with any of these. Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Michael. George Michael, I think, actually.
He should have been in already, if
probably,
you ask me.
Probably. Yeah. You don't have that many hits.
No. With not just with Wham, but your own career, yeah.
But I like the Willie Nelson thing, especially with Dolly Parton going in last year. And for those that may have missed us covering this yesterday, the Hall recently announced, not coincidentally, that, hey, it's our list. You know, you can go ahead and make your own list if you want, but this is our list, kind of, and we're going to do what we want. We're going to welcome in just about everybody, because everybody is influenced by rock and roll.
Well, and I think that's why Willie is the reason they did that. If you ask me, because that was the first thing when you read that yesterday that popped in my head. Oh, is Willie going to get nominated?
Yep, first thing I thought of. I didn't want to say it because I didn't.
Me neither.
I didn't want to spoil today, because I was hoping for this moment.
Me too.
The Redheaded Stranger not only belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I can make the argument that unlike Terrence Trent D'Arby, he deserves a wing. Like, think about Willie Nelson's career. When we use the term crossover artist, Mm-hmm. Is there a longer running crossover artist than Willie Nelson, who has had hits in almost every single genre label of music?
Yep.
Has written hit songs for almost every genre of music, has had hits or been relevant at the very least for what, 6 decades? Is it 5 or 6 decades?
It's 6 decades, I think. Yeah.
My God. Like, we should like be thankful he wants to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's no different than when the Dolly Parton situation.
Yeah.
Like, get him in. Give him a wing. Like, give him whatever he wants. If Willie Nelson wants to hang out at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like, give him an apartment over there in Cleveland, like in a downtown Cleveland. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Give him a nice apartment down there or
you
something.
Know,
like,
if you're recording songs between, you know, Julio Iglesias, you know, duets, and Lionel Richie, I mean, come on, man. There's no one who's more respected in the entire music industry than Willie Nelson, with a possible exception to Dolly Parton. But, I mean, Willie's right up there. Yeah. And everyone wants to work with him. And the thing that amazes me with Willie, he changes not at all. It's always the same. He plays his guitar and he sings with that great voice of his. And it's still, and he's able to blend with so many different singers. It's just amazing.
The tradition for most bands, you get together, you want to be the Beatles and change your sound, and then you break up over creative differences. Willie, same Willie from when he got started.
From the very beginning.
That's such a great point.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
Yep.
I love Willie Nelson.
Me too.
Maybe I'm a little biased about this, but I will say, too, Willie Nelson's got a Super Bowl commercial coming up with Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
If
that doesn't prove our point, I don't know what will. I don't know.
Love it.
Let him in. Let him in. I can tell you right now that as we were getting ready for this, I voted yesterday on this. I'll vote again. Because you can keep voting.
You can
on
vote for many times. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can go to vote.rockhall.com for that. Vote.rockhall.com. Encourage you to go ahead and vote for your favorite artist and have some fun.
Then go to Cleveland and go to the Hall of Fame because it's really cool.
Because Cleveland rocks.
Because Cleveland rocks. It does.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Oh. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Mr. Brooks. Right. Thank you, Garth. You don't got to go. Oh, he's leaving. He's not going to
stay in this weather. Are you kidding me?
I get it.
He's from the South. He's going to where the warm is. I wonder where
he lands that plane. I wonder where... It's time, everybody, to do some celebrating with Misty's Menu. We want to celebrate. We encourage you to head on over to Misty's when they are open. They are over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Now, keep in mind, they are closed Wednesday and Thursday in February. The first 3 weeks of March and the first 3 weeks of March. So Wednesdays and Thursdays, not going to be open over at Misty's. They'll also be closed February 25th to March 5th. And they will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th.
And I want to say that as sad as that is for the rest of us, I'm glad they're doing that. They need some time to take a break. Yeah.
They work hard. I mean, I love mentioning this whenever I can. It is easily one of the most original atmospheres you'll ever have anything to eat in.
So right.
It's such a great environment.
Mm-hmm.
The food, the prices, all top notch.
Yep.
10-10 across the board.
Yep.
But the people bring it all home.
They do.
And those people could use a break. They have earned it.
They have earned it.
And a good time of year to do it, too, I would say.
Yeah, I would
agree.
Yeah.
How many times is Misty's or any business around here have to close because of weather or something like that this time of year? Might as well.
Might as well. Take some time.
Taking a look at our list here, Seth, I need a one or a two from you.
Let's do two today.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So we can go right into the first one here. And a very happy birthday to my old friend, Cheryl Halterman.
Oh, Cheryl, happy birthday.
We wish you a great one, Cheryl. Cheryl, one of the more genuinely cool people you'll ever meet in your life. Just an awesome human being.
Nice.
Cheryl was one of the many people that was nice enough to put up with me when I was in high school and writing and directing our own plays.
Ooh.
And Cheryl was one of our actors in one of those plays and everything.
Very cool.
And two of them, I think, actually. And, just a great, great human being.
Yeah.
I wish you a great one, Cheryl. Enjoy your day. Our qualifiers today celebrating their 64th anniversary.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
64th anniversary.
Happy 64 to Roger and Kathy Sweet.
Oh, Roger and Kathy, congratulations. My goodness.
Roger was a former sales account exec and voiced many commercials for WFHR and 103.3 for a very long time.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you... I can't remember if there's any that are still floating around with Roger in them or not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there might be a few out there. Yeah.
And I will say that if you heard Roger's voice, you know it. Like, got a great radio voice. Great radio voice. Wishing them a very happy 64th.
Many happy returns.
I see here the 65th anniversary gift is Blue Sapphire.
Ooh.
That's a cool one.
Start like saving.
And we need our January winner of Misty's Menu certificate to contact us. Milton Ham won. Milton, 424-1300. Give us a call, and you are our winner for January.
Yes, indeed.
And we'll give that a week. Mm-hmm. We'll give it at least a week, but we'll announce a new winner if it doesn't work out. We've already had that. It's never happened in our history of Misty's, and it already happened once now in this year. So we'll see.
Yeah,
see
how that goes. For December, that's right.
Let's go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list.
All right.
Not too much on the list today, to be honest with you. Shakira is 46.
Okay. Whoa, 46?
Yeah. Her hips, 20. I don't know. Nothing else there.
That was good, though.
Good singer, songwriter, and you talk not just a multi-hit artist, but multi-bare language, you know.
That's right.
She is. You think she's big in America, and we know who she is here. Mm-hmm. Throughout Latin America, she is gigantic.
Huge
in Latin America. If we had a list, top five smiles in football history. Top five smiles in football history. I have no doubt that this man would be in the top three.
Okay.
Happy 48th birthday to Green Bay Packer legend Donald Driver. Former NFL wide receiver, helped the Packers beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45. He's also a New York Times bestselling author and won season 14 of Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, is there anything he can't do?
I don't believe there is. I like his commercials. And that smile, man. I'm a Bear fan. Million dollar smile. Just love that smile. You got a great smile.
Yep.
Counting Crows drummer Ben Mitz is 52.
All right.
Let's see. Robert DeLeo from the Stone Temple Pilots is 57.
Okay.
So we're taking care of some of those
90s guys. Yeah.
Late 90s rock here.
Yeah.
Speaking of like 90s, Christine Brinkley is 69.
Oh, wow. Wow.
If that didn't make you feel old, her daughter Sailor, that's actually, I like that name. That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Her daughter Sailor is a model too and got into the 2018 SI swimsuit issue.
So it's keeping it in the family,
I guess, man. But if they had said that her daughter got in the 2023 swimsuit edition, it wouldn't have made me feel as old. But for some reason, that she did this like 4 years, like even she's been a model for years now.
Oh, now you're really Wait a minute. There's still a swimsuit issue? Are they doing it online now?
Oh, I think they do, but I think it's way different than when we were kids. It's about body empowerment.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of those things and everything.
I was a little surprised by that, but okay.
So I want to step back on this one because I am not a Trekkie. I know you are, but I will say that I've seen a little bit of Star Trek: The Next Generation. It's really the only Star Trek I've seen much of.
Right.
And the first thing to come out of it for me was, wow, that Data guy is amazing. He's a good actor. How have I not heard of this guy? Very happy birthday to Data. 74 years young for Brent Spiner.
That's actually pronounced Spiner, but yes.
Spiner? Is Brent Spiner, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, Spiner.
Well, that's okay. I made the same mistake myself. Mm. He is not only, I mean, yes, he killed it with Data. He's revisited the role in Picard a few times, since then. Yeah, he's come back. Although he, you know, I mean, at the beginning, during the show and stuff, he had kind of the Spock issue with the character.
I could see that.
Typecasting, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He is an amazing song and dance man as well. Mm. He's done lots of Broadway. And he is, from what I can tell, one of the most talented people they ever had on the show. He could do many impressions. He's also an impressionist. He does really good impressions as well. So, yeah, he's an amazing guy.
He does a great 1920s gangster.
Yeah,
he does that really good. He doesn't lay too heavy into it and everything.
He does a good Sherlock, too. He's very good Sherlock.
Yeah. A great actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's saying something. I think one of the best I've seen is Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. And when I'm thinking of noticing your acting, when you're working with Patrick Stewart, it stands out to me. And he's good.
The strength for me for Star Trek was always, you know, the plots, you know, what they were talking about in the show, but having the good actors. So they almost always had really, really, I mean, there was a couple of misses here and there, but they almost always had really great actors.
And I was blown away by how all in all the actors are.
Yeah.
Like, they really are. Like, it takes that.
Yeah.
You can't have one foot in, one foot out.
I was going to say, when you're an actor like Michael Dorn, who's got to sit in that makeup chair every day for all that makeup, I mean, you got to be committed.
I'm so happy he's getting that Allstate money now, man. Yeah. I mean, collect that money.
He's great. I love Michael Dorn.
Graham Nash, 81 today.
Oh.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and sometimes Young. He's the one who wrote the incredible underrated hit Marrakesh Express.
Yep.
And plenty of other ones. You know,
Our House.
Graham Nash.
Teach Your Children.
I think one of the more, should be at least, one of the more celebrated songwriters.
Absolutely. Oh, very good songwriter. Absolutely.
Speaking of great voices, Tommy Smothers, 86 years young today. A few legendary superstars that started writing on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, like Rob Reiner, Bob Einstein from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Super Dave Osborne fame, the great Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting some names.
You're right. There was a couple there there was a lot of great writers that came out of that show.
Tommy Smothers, also one of the first people to have women or African Americans in the writer's room and on stage with him.
Didn't happen a lot in the 60s.
No. Smothers Brothers, game changers.
Yep.
Game changers. Still, to this day, do not give the credit that they have earned.
Not really, no.
Really, the Smothers Brother Hour and all that stuff, their chemistry, their talent.
Fascinating story, too, by the way. If you ever read the history of the show and the controversy around it, it's a really interesting story.
It's one of those things that I've always wanted to dive more into and just haven't. I'm going to take the time.
Yes,
I've got it.
There's a book. I'm going to recommend a book, Dangerously Funny. Is what it's called, and it's all about the show. Yep, it's really cool.
I'm definitely reading that.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And then some people no longer with us, like the great Farrah Fawcett, born on this day in 1947, passed away in 2009.
How many bedroom walls did she adorn?
Right, yeah.
In the 70s.
Solid actor, too.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
One more time, we want to wish a happy birthday to Cheryl Halterman. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Happy birthday.
And a happy 64th anniversary to Roger and Kathy Sweet.
Congratulations, you two.
You're our qualifiers. Congrats, you two. We encourage you to, when they open their doors again, head on over to Misty's Menu. They're at 9041 Sid Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Take a listen to Melissa's News, and we'll be back with more here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Lonely. Lonely over here. Sad. Down. Because this is like an emo anthem. Immediately brought me back to like 8th grade sitting in the basement.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Echo and also one of the greatest band names of all time. Echo and the Bunnymen.
Echo and the Bunnymen. Echo actually was the name of their drum machine.
That's right.
When they started.
That's right.
That's what they were the Bunnymen. Yeah.
But everybody called the lead singer Echo.
No
different than Hootie and all that.
His name was Ian. Yeah. He was not Echo.
You think any band's ever going to make that mistake again? Like,
probably.
Probably. Absolutely. Absolutely they will. We're going to talk Super Bowl ads now a little bit.
Okay.
Some new Super Bowl ads and teasers dropped yesterday. Here are a little bit of the details. Like, of course, Budweiser. Every year they're in this one. And the new king of commercials, Kevin Bacon. Bacon shows up in this one. Somebody give Kevin Bacon some work. Like, he showed up a little bit in the Guardians holiday special.
Killed it, was great
in it.
He was very good.
I just saw him in a commercial with his daughter, who I have not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God. First off, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But she is, I don't think I've seen a celebrity kid. Maybe Julian Lennon, actually. Maybe Julian Lennon, now that I think about it. But other than that looks like such a combination of their parents.
Interesting.
She's got, almost every great quality of Kevin and almost every great quality of Kira Sedgwick, her mom.
Yep.
Like, she's just a perfect combination of these things. Like, I couldn't get over it.
That's it. Well, and when you have, parents that are attractive as those two, I think you're going to come out pretty good, yeah.
But we've seen this go the other way, too, though,
that's
sometimes.
That's true.
Like, that kid, look, I'd like to see her. I don't know if she acts much,
right.
But I want to look into that a little bit because, it'd be interesting to see. So Kevin, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Bacon theme is showing how a six-pack connects people. Kevin's not actually in it, but he does narrate it.
Oh, he does? Okay. Mm-hmm. I know they have done, there's at least one other time they did a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon ad that he was in, which I thought was, which is always clever.
Yeah.
I wonder how it's like to be like this cultural
Oh, it's thing.
It's
got to
be weird.
Yeah. I would think it is, and at the same time, I don't know. I mean,
he handles it well.
That's the part. Yeah, he just seems to handle it so well. The online shopping rebate site Rakuten enlisted Alicia Silverstone to play Cher, her clueless character again.
Jeez.
Interesting. I think we're going to notice a theme here, everybody.
Okay.
Michelob Ultra released its full Caddyshack-themed ad featuring Serena Williams, Tony Romo, Brian Cox from Succession, Jimmy Butler, among others. Alex Morgan, Canelo Alvarez is also in it. There's a cameo from Michael O'Keefe, who played the young Danny Noonan in the original Caddyshack.
Yeah.
He's the guy who tells Serena to be the ball and all this, which, you know. Tony Romo, not a bad Bill Murray impression.
Oh,
not,
really?
I shouldn't say Bill Murray, but the, you know, the groundskeeper.
The character,
from,
yeah.
The character he plays and stuff like that. Not bad. Not bad. especially, he's not an actor. So,
you
know, the bar's not too high here or anything. I love the idea because I'm a big fan of Caddyshack, but I don't know if it's any good. I haven't seen it yet, so
who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? Oh, man.
I'm trying to remember when the last time there was a Super Bowl ad I got excited about seeing. I'm pretty sure I was like in high school.
Yeah.
It's not. There's been plenty of good ones.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good ones. I just mean like that, oh, I got to see this. I have to see it and stuff. I think we're kind of at a point now with all this stuff where I outside of sporting events, what's the last time? Oh, I have to watch this when everybody else in the world is. Oh, the big series finale of this show,
yeah.
And I gotta watch it where everybody else is because I don't want to be caught like left behind or spoilers or anything. Like nowadays, everything's streamed and everything, you know, you can watch it later, and nobody watches everything at the same time. Basically,
right, not anymore.
Thinking about it just right off the cuff, not doing any research about it, like HBO and Game of Thrones and like, and maybe even This Is Us right now, I don't know. Like that had the last time I could think of that kind of thing happening. Mm-hmm. And even that was only like cable subscribers and
it
stuff.
It wasn't even that big of a group. Yeah, in the scheme of things, yeah.
I mean, I genuinely think we're never going to see a MASH series finale again, like those kind of numbers.
No, we're not.
Certainly not on network TV, but I mean, even if you include streaming and network numbers, I don't think you're going to see a series finale like you did with the MASH finale. I think that might be the last one.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. Yep.
Crazy to think of that.
It isn't.
It was
though?
Such a big deal when
it
we were kids.
It was a big deal.
Season finales, series finales. Like, I mean, they were
for long-running shows. Yeah, those were like the big thing. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to think of. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking a bit of entertainment, so we're going to kind of just keep on that theme here as we wrap up. But do want to remind you, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with CBS News. And then after that, we're going to have the Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society.
Yes, indeed.
Really looking forward to that. A big shout out to our friends at Club Forest Bar and Restaurant sponsoring the segment.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate them. Be sure to stop by there any chance you get. And make sure to say hi from us from WFHR. 9 o'clock hour will also have some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a That Ain't Right story to many, many people out there, and and many more people than Netflix even realizes.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is going to start cracking down on password sharing next month, and now we know how they're going to do it, sort of.
Okay.
In an updated FAQ, they said, quote, to ensure uninterrupted access to Netflix, connect to the Wi-Fi at your primary location, open the Netflix app or website, and watch something at least once every 31 days.
Okay.
Quote, this creates a trusted device so you can watch Netflix even when you're away from your primary location. So what if someone outside your household tries to use your account on a non-trusted device? Quote, Netflix will prompt users who try to sign into your account elsewhere to sign up for their own account instead of block their access until they do.
Mm.
But what if that someone is you? Like you're a traveler, like 90% of my friends.
Yeah.
My buddy Will is never in one location for more than 20-some days.
Right.
And he loves Netflix. Like he's a huge Netflix guy. He's been there from day one.
Mm-hmm.
There's that kind of thing. You're an accountant. To open your account on a hotel TV for an instance.
Yeah, exactly.
In that case, you have to request a temporary code when you sign it. When you sign in, it gives you access for 7 consecutive days.
Hmm.
On the other side of that, if I am borrowing or using or stealing, however you want to word it, a Netflix account, then can I just do that? Can I just get the temporary code and every 7 days redo it? It's annoying, but it might be less annoying than paying $14-15 a month.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember what my first technically real job was working at Deja Vu Video here in Rapids. And boy, if you get that reference, you're good people.
Old
out
school.
Yeah. You know, video rental store and all that. Yeah. And we get these special magazines that all video rental stores got. Mm-hmm. And on one page, it's a device to help people not be able to record your VHS tapes.
That's right. I remember that.
And on the very next page, when you flipped it, was a device to counter that. And the device to counter it, less expensive.
Yeah.
Less expensive than the one that costs it. So, I mean, it doesn't... I kind of feel like you're not only shooting yourself in the foot, if you're doing this, if you're Netflix, mm-hmm. but you're only adding to the people who are looking for a reason to... I have two friends of mine, and this is two out of the millions of Netflix subscribers.
Yeah.
But two friends of mine who have already canceled their Netflix subscription because of this, because they let their parents use it. Their parents are older.
Yep.
Their parents barely understand what streaming is.
Right.
But they like the Netflix, and they go on it from time to time. She's canceled all of it. And she just started the new streaming service. I'm not going to say which one. I don't want to give credit to anybody who's not giving us that money here.
Yeah, right.
But she another one of the bigger popular streaming services that does not do this. Mm-hmm. Netflix has been in the only reason Netflix has been in the news outside of Stranger Things is they got the rights for the Chris Rock live special.
Uh-huh.
And they canceled this, they canceled this, they canceled this. Like, nobody is a fan of the Netflix quick cancel button. You're losing people left and right if you're Netflix. Disney Plus, Hulu, they're chomping at your tails.
Yep.
This is only, it's silly to say because I'm not trying to hurt a business from collecting money here. Mm-hmm. They deserve this instead.
Right, yeah.
At the same time, you created the business model. You were the first one out the gate.
Yeah.
You did this to yourselves.
Yeah.
Why should the customers suffer for what you did? Like, it... Stealing's wrong. There's no getting around that.
Yeah.
But if you're allowing it, if you're not countering it, I have a hard time.
Yep.
We do this to athletes all the time. Oh, those greedy athletes. Those greedy athletes. Did you hear that guy had a $30 million signing bonus? Would you turn that down? Is anybody? Raise your hand if you would turn down a signing
bonus. Yeah, $30 million,
somebody
right?
giving you money just for signing your name. Something you were going to do anyway. But come on. What are we doing here? I mean, getting bent out of shape over things like that when, you know, I don't know how this ends for them.
I was actually thinking more that what we you're saying about Netflix model, you know, how they went into this. It's kind of like, and to use another sports metaphor, because I'm turning into you apparently.
Yes, you are. Yes.
like what we were talking about the other day on Playmakers with steroids, you know, the steroid era in baseball. Everyone knew it was happening. You know, it was still wrong, but they didn't crack down on it kind of thing. And now all of a sudden they're going to crack down on it, even though, and it seems so weird because they're already hurting.
Yeah.
Netflix is already hurting.
Yes,
money's you know flowing out of it like a sieve. But money is just flowing out, and now they want to try. I mean, I get it. They want to try to get more money because of that. But this is a terrible time to try to do something like that.
You don't take a chance like this. You don't do something like this when you're already reeling.
Exactly.
You know, doesn't make business sense.
Yeah. If you're doing good and you're, you know, everything's going up, then maybe you can address it. But not right now.
Like, you know, you got the old adage, you got to spend money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's false. But, you don't shoot yourself in the foot while you're doing that.
Yeah, you don't spend $1 billion to make $100 million.
Right.
Yeah, that seems a little, what?
That's not a smart business model there. You can make the argument, coming out the gate, Netflix didn't have maybe the strongest business model to begin with.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't.
But it worked.
It did.
It worked. If not for Netflix, the streaming wars never happened.
Nope.
like all this stuff that the businesses saw what Netflix was doing and immediately like well, I got to get in on that.
Yep.
I got to find my own niche. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, you're NBC and you're like, oh, my God, everybody's got one of these and we don't have one. We got to get one. Yep. Call it Peacock. I don't know. Just get it out there. And they literally stroll this out, this streaming service and this app, before they've even really tested it to verbatim, because they got to get in on the wars.
Yep.
Even if you're only going to get 1%. Well, we got 1%. Like, that's better than some like a CNN. Look at what CNN did. CNN comes up with this app. It was dead within 6 months, and they spent millions on it.
Mm-hmm. Probably tens of millions on it, yeah.
Everybody, and they're not alone. Other people are going to, there's going to be a streaming service coming out next week. There's going to be another one. There's going to be one after that. And every one of those is just a little bit, death by a thousand cuts. Just one less streamer from Netflix, one more. Mm-hmm. Everybody's making this choice right now. Where am I going to spend this $10 to $15 a month? I've got like three of these now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's adding up on me. It's starting to get like as expensive as cable. This was the point of stopping cable. So I got to cut something.
Now someone's going to bundle it together. We'll have cable again.
And outside of Stranger Things, and I thought Wednesday was really good too, what are you going to Netflix for? I mean, you know, they don't have any original sports. I just mentioned the Chris Rock live special that they're going to do, but that's a one-time thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And that's the people that care about that. If you really care that much and everything, wait 24 hours and it'll be on Twitter and YouTube and all that and everything. So you don't even have to do that. I don't see where this helps them. I don't see that this, like, it may help you make a little bit more money in the short term, but how many people do you think are actually going to subscribe? Like, do you not know people? This is not what people do. You balk them like that, and they're going to just go the other direction.
Well, and this is the funny thing about streaming is that there's an end zone. There's an end game. Mm. There's always going to – you're going to hit the critical mass at some point. There's not going to be any more subscribers, so you can't grow anymore unless you keep charging more. And then, it's going to be gone. By the way, do you remember when Netflix was a DVD lending service?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that in the beginning of this conversation, and then I forgot to mention it. Oh, I forgot all about that. You're so right. That
seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it?
At least 100 years ago. At least 100 years ago. We are going to have some fun in the next. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes. This story is not over.
No.
This story is going to be going on for a while. I did want to remind everybody that coming up, let's kick off the 9 o'clock hour. CBS News will be here. We are aware that we've had some troubles with CBS News.
Yeah, it's something on there and a technical problem they're having. Yep.
They're working on it,
yep.
And we're doing our best to work with them on it. And then right after CBS News, we get our intro in, and then we go right into our new furry friend, the Pet of the Week from the Southfield County Maine Society. Madison going to join us with our newest furry friend.
Woohoo!
Big shout out to Cotton Thimble, quilting classes, large variety of fabrics, knowledge, so much going on over there. We'll talk more about that in our Southfield County Maine Society coming up on the morning show. Here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.